All right, good morning. I hope nobody stayed home for Super Bowl this morning. They'll be sorely disappointed, amen. I don't think it'll be on this morning, although folks will lay out all day over things like that. They'll lay out for things far less than that, amen. They certainly will. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 this morning, verse 17, and want to preach to you for a little bit this morning, and had a few things going in my mind and in my heart this week, so I want to preach this to you this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. Over the last couple of weeks, there's a rascal down there. I don't know what happened in Virginia. Well, actually, I do know what happened in Virginia. A bunch of Yankees moved down there. Amen. And things begin to change in Virginia. The top, I guess what you would call the northeast sector of Virginia, is full of politicians and Yankees, and you just have to make the most of that, amen, that's what they are, and the liberals, amen. So Virginia, the whole face of Virginia has changed on the political scene, and now they're trying to pass all kinds of laws down there that are just ain't right. Now, the same thing's happening in Delaware, you just don't know it yet. You say, well, Brother Mike, Delaware's already bad. Well, it's going to get worse because folks is pouring in from New Jersey. And if you're here from New Jersey, just thank God you're saved, amen, if you are. If you're not saved, get saved and get delivered from your evil ways, amen. And if you escaped New Jersey in order to keep from living the way people from New Jersey lived, for God's sake, don't vote the same way you did up there in New Jersey. Vote like you got some sense, amen. But these things begin to happen in Virginia, and a lot of Virginians are upset. And Virginians that are upset are not like, I suppose, some people in some places. If you get them country fellers over there in the mountains upset, they will hang you and all sorts of other wonderful things. You'll disappear back in the mountains, and that may not be all right. It might be all right. I'm not preaching on any opinions about that this morning. I'm just telling you that it might happen. But at any rate, I've been getting calls over the last several weeks about coming to Virginia. Because something very well could happen in Virginia, and got all up in the air about that thing. And because when family members call, and of course family members don't call a whole lot until they need something, amen. But at any rate, a lot of calls and a lot of worry and a lot of angst and stuff like that. And so been thinking about that, been praying about those things. And this week, the Lord really spoke to my heart about that. So this morning, I'm going to preach to you about fighting for your rights, fighting for your rights. And I hope this morning when you leave here, you'll be a sure enough patriot. Now, I'm not talking about anything concerning 1776, but I think that probably the greatest idea that I have in my heart in preaching this message is to have you leave here this morning wanting to be the very best Christian that you can, because fighting for your rights has nothing to do with muskets or AR-15s or pistols or civil rights or the Second Amendment or even the First Amendment. And I can tell you this wholeheartedly, liberty and Christianity existed before there was ever a Constitution of the United States. Amen. Liberties must be fought for, but it's not necessarily a thing where you have to fight the government. Amen. And the greatest fight that a Christian has to be concerned with is to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. We're going to talk about one of those points this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, you believe the Bible, don't you? I hope you believe the Bible, because if you don't believe the Bible, then the message ain't going to do you much good. Matter of fact, it might be why going to church is not doing you no good after all these years. If you're still having problems and difficulties in certain areas, it might be that you got a case where you don't believe the Bible. Believe the Bible. And I'm not talking about understanding the Bible. I'm talking about believe the Bible. This is one of those cases right here. You would think, well, if, you know, George Washington didn't stand up, and by the way, I have no problem with the founders of this country. I'm glad they did what they did, and I believe that what they did was in large part ordained by God. So armies and stuff like that, there's a place and there's a time for physical fighting. But long before the physical fighting ever took place, there's a time to fight a spiritual battle. Amen? And sometimes the spiritual battle will keep you out of a physical battle. I think some of you husbands and wives need to know that and hear that. A lot of, if you'll fight spiritually, you'll probably do less fighting physically. I know that's a fact. I know that's a fact. But at any rate, what I'm trying to get across to you this morning is just the fact that you need to fight spiritually. And if you're going to fight, if you'll fight spiritually, if you'll believe God's word, then God will begin to do something in your life. Like I say, you don't have to necessarily understand everything, but you certainly do need to believe everything. Amen? Now, look what it says in verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. You know, there was a time when the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter got locked in jail. And they had plenty of liberty while they was in jail. Amen? Well, they locked them up and they sat in the corner and said, well, what do we do now? And one of them said, let's sing a song. Amen? And they began to sing Living by Faith or something like that. I don't know. You know that hymn wasn't around back then. But since I don't know what hymns they was singing, probably the Psalms. That's probably absolutely correct. That's absolutely correct, I believe. They was probably singing Psalms. And presently things began to shake and fall apart and they just walked out. Amen? And Simon Peter, I don't know about him. I think he's probably maybe a little bit like I would be, maybe a little bit worried. But I know this, I believe even though he is worried, he probably believed God. And sitting alone in prison, just this big old bright fella showed up one day and opened the door and said, let's go. And they walked out, and they didn't even have to really do much. As they walked out the courtyard, the gates just kind of opened up for them, and they walked on out freely. And when they got down to their friend's house, they thought there was a ghost. Because surely he's dead. Surely he can't get out. And you'll find yourself in situations like that from time to time. You'll think you're bound up. You'll think you have no ability to move this way or that way. And as the Lord leads you, doors will start opening up for you, and folks won't be able to believe it. How in the world did he get out of that situation? How in the world did he get out of that? But you'll know all the time it's because you have liberty. And if a Christian's going to have anything, he ought to have liberty. And I think you'll see that here in this chapter. Now, I ask you, did you believe God's word? And what the word says here is the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Now, when I think about liberty, I don't necessarily think about the Constitution, I don't guess. But when I think about liberty, I think about liberty of thought. And especially in the Christian sense, Christian thought. And there's liberty of expression. And I'll just give it to you this way. I think liberty is the freedom of thought. It's the freedom of expression. It's the freedom of movement. It's the freedom of activity. And a lot of people just don't have it. Some people just don't have those things. And you'd be tempted. Now, if you've got those four things, thought, expression, I hope you think before you speak. It's a good idea. It's a real good idea. Don't just start talking, amen? If you're preaching, just don't start talking. Think, pray, amen? There's a lot that goes behind that. You just can't get up. Your talent's going to run out pretty soon. You need to think about what you're going to say, amen? And we'll get to prayer in just a minute, but there's thought, and then there's expression, and then there's movement, and then there's activity. And for each of those things, if a person doesn't have it, preacher, my mind is just messed up. I can't think like I ought to. I need some liberty of thought, and I just don't know what's going on in my head. You would think that you probably need more intellect if I was only smarter. Right? If I was only smarter, I'd be able to. If I was only more educated, I'd be able to think a lot clearer. Well, how do you explain those fellas down in Washington? How do you explain those fellas that are college professors that believe they come from monkeys and such as that? Well, it's not that we believe we come from monkeys. I'm tired of hearing that explanation. And one minute you'll say one thing, and then when you get an argument, you'll say a next. Those people are educated above their intelligence, and the fact of their intelligence or the quality or the quantity of their intelligence has nothing to do with what's going on in their head. Nothing at all. It's not your intelligence that's affecting your thought. In the case of expression, you'd think, well, maybe I need a better vocabulary. If that's the case, I'll never put two phrases together that makes any sense because I ain't got much vocabulary. Amen. I had to check my spelling of it as I went through and wrote this stuff down. But you don't need a vocabulary for expression. All you need is liberty. You know, in the case of Samuel, the Bible says that the Lord didn't let any of his words touch the ground. He's just hanging around an old man off his lap. Don't look to me like he went to grade school. I mean, I read my Bible. Did you read it? I didn't see nothing about grade school in there. I didn't see nothing about Polytechnical Institute. Amen. I didn't see nothing about, you know, him going to Yale or Harvard. Didn't see anything about any of that stuff. Do you? Absolutely not. But the Lord wouldn't let his words touch the ground. In other words, the Lord put meaning behind his words. And when he said something, things come to pass. So it's not your vocabulary that's withholding the liberty of your expression. Have you ever wanted to witness to somebody and just couldn't? I just don't know what to say to this fella. Something's wrong. Something's missing. It's liberty. It's liberty. And the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And then if there's freedom of thought and freedom of expression and freedom of movement, then you would think, well, I can't get nowhere. I just can't get nowhere. I keep trying to get from this point, from point A to point B. I'm trying to grow from baby Christian to adult Christian, and I just can't get no movement. And you would think, well, maybe I'm handicapped or something, or maybe I'm slow, or maybe I just don't have the mobility that I need. I'm just not as good as some other fellas. Let me tell you something. I don't know a lot of things, but I know this. If I can preach a sermon or if I can witness to somebody and see God move, then I know you can. I know you can. I know you can. If somebody like Alan Ryman can be a pastor, I know that you can do something for the Lord. I know this because, listen, the Bible tells us plainly and clearly, and that's no knock against nobody. What I'm trying to say is 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says that God's going to take the weak. You say, what is that? The immobile. Folks that couldn't get nowhere on their own. And matter of fact, if you could get from point A to point B on your own, God wouldn't use you no way because he's looking for somebody that he can get the glory through. Amen. Can't get no movement. You'd think, well, there's a problem with my mobility. There's something wrong. You might say, there's something wrong with the way I'm doing this. I'm preaching the Bible like I ought to, and I'm not getting nowhere. I'm studying the Bible like I ought to, and nobody's getting saved. I might just go find another way of mobility. Maybe we'll put on a play every 5 weeks, and maybe we'll put on a concert. Maybe we'll do this. No, sir, that's not what your freedom of movement depends upon. And you'd say, well, as far as my activity goes, maybe just God ain't called me to do this or that. A lot of people that way. But I believe, and I've read the Bible quite a few times, and every time I hit Romans 1, I find out we're all the called. Yeah. Amen. Down in Georgia, I used to try to really press for our deacons in the church to come up with sermons because I think a deacon ought to preach. Amen? Well, I'm not called to preach. Yes, you are called to preach. And I think this, I think any man in this church could put together a sermon and preach it. Well, I'm just not called. But that's that kind of mindset, that lack of liberty in your activity is why you don't do nothing anyway. You come to church, you sit in church, and sometimes you make it to Sunday school, and sometimes you don't, and sometimes you show up for visitation, and sometimes you don't, and sometimes you pray, and sometimes you don't. And that lack of freedom, that lack of liberty in your mobility is because you just don't believe you're called to do anything. When all of you are called to do most everything. Amen. You say, what's the problem? The Lord isn't there. The Lord is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Lord not in your thoughts. Oh, but Brother Mike, I'm saved. That's not what I said. I said the Lord's not in your thoughts. Amen. The Lord's not in your expression. Amen. Some of you are far more able to speak on the upcoming Super Bowl and who's going to win and their strong points and their weak points than you are about your own strong points and weak points in your Christianity, or maybe the finer points of the book of John. You're far more capable to speak on things, earthly things or fleshly things. And if I were to ask you how you were doing, you'd give me a 45-minute discourse on your woes. But if I ask you to talk to me about your spiritual life, well, you know, I'm kind of struggling. And? Well, you know, I'm just having a hard time. And? And there's no freedom of expression there because the Lord is not in your expression. Amen? And your movement, as far as your movement goes, you say it's either downhill or backwards. It's not forwards. You know what you need to be like? You need to be like old Joshua and Moses. Now, you know, to take the trip that Joshua and Moses took would have been a very difficult thing. You'd stand back and look at that mountain, and it'd be on fire. And then you'd think there's probably no way to get to the top of that. It's on fire. I tell you what, a firefighter has to be a very brave individual to look at a house and then go in there. If I look at a burning house, I'm going to say, here's my opportunity to get warm in this polar region that we live in. I'm going to rush in there. Moses and Joshua stand there at the foot of the mountain. There's a barrier around that mountain. The Lord said, put a barrier around it. Amen. Put a barrier around that mountain, lest the people push through and try to get up to the top. Of course, it didn't look to me like that happened very much. But just as a precaution, they did that. But Moses and Joshua, standing at the foot of that mountain, they climbed all the way to the top. Amen? And that's what you have to do. You'll be looking at things, and it don't look like you can get nowhere, and it doesn't look like you've been anywhere except for standing still or going backwards, and you're just going to have to start climbing. But in order to do that, you're going to have liberty of movement. Amen? Amen? The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, it says when God decided to destroy the earth, he said their thoughts were only evil continually. Some of you would like to quit thinking dirty thoughts and bad thoughts and evil thoughts, but there's just something wrong in there. I go to church on Sunday and I decide I'm never going to do that again, but Monday evening, Tuesday morning, somewhere about there, slide right back into that same old rut, slide right back into that same old situation. You say, what's the problem? Am I lost? No, you're not lost. If you call on the name, again, we go back to that question. Do you believe God's word? Amen. He said if you'd call on him, that he would save you. And he didn't save you by your works or your ability to keep yourself out of trouble. He saved you by his grace. He keeps you by his grace. But I'll tell you, if you're going to make any progress in any of these areas, you're going to have liberty. The Lord's going to have to be in it, amen? And so when we talk about fighting for your rights or fighting for, and what I really want to preach to you is not fighting for your rights, fighting for your liberties. Amen. You're going to have to fight for it. You're going to get your mind cleaned up, you're going to have to fight for it. You're going to get your expression cleaned up, you're going to have to fight for it, amen? Some of you could start with Facebook. Stop posting cuss words. Amen? One of these days I'm going to preach that sermon, what I found on Facebook. And one thing I found is people either cuss a lot, Christians. I'm not talking about, if there's lost people out there, they're going to cuss. I'm talking about Christians. Either you cuss a lot or you don't read what you're posting. I believe that's the case. This looks neat. That sounds neat. Read it carefully. Amen? So, but as far as your expression goes, you should just, you know, you're going to have to get God in it. Amen? Amen. It takes a fight. I remember when I first started living for the Lord, I remember it took me, it didn't take long, but just a few days, I was over that cursing thing. Picked that up in the Marine Corps. Shouldn't have done it. Shouldn't have allowed myself to talk like that as a saved young man, but I did. And got around the wrong crowd and talked like I ought not to have talked and done things I ought not to have done. But when I got my heart right with God, I decided to get a hold of real liberty, real liberty. And in just a few days, that language went out the door. Amen. To the point where my boss man called me in his office and said, fella, I want to ask you a question. I said, what is it? He said, what's wrong with you? I said, what you mean, what's wrong with me? He said, I ain't heard you swear or say anything rude or bad in 3 days now. He said, I was kind of worried about you. I said, well, I'm fine. I got right with the Lord. He goes, oh, good, I'm a Christian too. You should have told me that 3 weeks ago. Amen. It's amazing how many Christians come out of the woodwork when you decide to start doing right. Amen. Gets a hold of their conscience, don't it? Amen. I tell you what, some of you folks that don't never witness to the folks you work with, one day they're going to come in and say, I got saved today. And you're going, man, it's going to hit you in your heart. I wish I would have had something to do with that. Yeah, right. And you'll pipe up and say, I'm a Christian too. Want to go to church with me? Probably leave them alone if they got really saved. Well, they go to the Methodist church. Well, you're a Baptist. You wouldn't helping them that much. Is that right or wrong? Amen, that's right. Why didn't you say nothing to them to begin with? No liberty. You don't have liberty to do it. You know you ought to.
That's right.
Some people would call that boldness, and it would fit doctrinally for that to be boldness. But you got to have liberty to have boldness. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You're not going to win this world, and you're not going to win any liberties with a gun. I'm telling you that right now. He said, Brother Mike, one day the Continental Army went up against the British Army and they began to fight. Well, you know what they did? They began to fight. They began to lose. Did you know the great General George Washington got his rear end beat all over the eastern coast?
That's right.
Did you know that? You know what? I got a sneaking suspicion that won the revolution for the United States. Folks like Cotton Mather and them old Puritans and some of them folks that might not have had every good biblical idea they ever had, but they was praying on Sunday and they was praying on Monday and they was praying on Tuesday and they was having meetings for 3 or 4 weeks straight and they was getting right with God and they was calling on God and asking God to help them and having meetings to try to see what could be done about securing their liberties. And what they come up with was prayer and fasting and days of thanksgiving. I've been reading this old diary from one of them old preachers from back in those days, the early 1700s, and about every 7 or 8 weeks you'd see in there marked Thanksgiving. We have it once a year. They had it about every 6 or 7 weeks. They'd proclaim a day of thanksgiving. And even when the country won its independence and they got folks in the office like John Adams, they'd call for national days of thanksgiving and prayer. And they'd call for national days of fasting and prayer. You say, what does that produce? That produces liberty. You can stick all the George Washingtons you want to out on the field, but if you ain't got no praying mamas, and if you ain't got no praying daddies, and if you ain't got no praying little kids, you ain't going to have no liberties. You can have guns and not have liberties. Some of you got guns in your house, but you can't think straight. Amen? Some of you got the freedom of speech, but you ain't talking. Amen? What do you want your freedom of speech for? So you can keep Facebook and say whatever you want to. And what do you need freedom of speech for if you're not going to? You know, freedom of speech was tied up in the fact that they was preachers preaching on the street and getting thrown in jail. That's where freedom of speech was tied up to. Where it come from. Of course, you ain't going to learn that down there at the public school. Amen. Amen, that's exactly right. So you ought to fight for your rights. So I'm going to give you a little bit of ammunition here that you can use to fight for your rights. Luke chapter 18. There's actually 2 points to this message, but I'm only going to give you one. I got 30 minutes and I could condense them, but I'll give you one. Luke chapter 18. Somebody took the book of Luke out of my Bible. Here it is. Thief. Now Luke chapter number 1, I can't seem to find it. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. I got mixed up there on my thoughts. You ever did that? Luke chapter 18, verse number 1. Now here's what you do to fight for your liberties. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Amen. You say, how do I get my liberties? I'm going to tell you, first of all, you're going to need prayer and you're going to need the Word of God, and that's the major two things. It helps to be saved. Amen? But listen, when he began to preach this parable, the writer here in the book of Luke, he says, the Lord spoke a parable. And this is the end of it. This is what he was trying to teach us when he taught this parable, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. But now, if you're going to pray, I do recommend you read your Bible, because God's going to talk back to you through that. God's going to direct you. And we could spend a long time on that, but I only want to spend the time this morning on the prayer side, because I feel like that's what the Lord wanted me to get across to you this morning. And so he says, men ought always to pray. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. I'm going to say this with very little hesitation. Maybe a little hesitation because I don't know everybody. I'm not omniscient. I don't know everything like God knows it. But I know quite a bit as far as this is concerned. If you're having problems in your Christian life, in any of these areas that we've talked about this morning already, the problem is probably that you don't pray enough.
Amen.
And if you are praying, here's a little piece of this verse. It said men ought to pray and not to faint. And folks in this generation doing a lot of fainting. But you know, I wouldn't get too hard on yourself about it. People say that like folks in the 50s and folks in the 1800s were men of steel and men of iron and they never faltered or failed. That's not true. The people in the 1800s and the people in the 1700s and people in Noah's day and the folks in Moses' day and the folks in, you know, whenever, whatever age that you idolize in history and say, boy, I would just love to live there because everybody was wonderful. Those people were people just like you. Those people were just like you. Those people were just like you. They failed like you did. They thought like you did. They had grief like you did. They had depression like you did. They had hardships. They had lust and temptation just like you do. They had all those problems just like you do. But one of the ways that they got through is some of them were a little bit more disciplined in their prayer life. Men ought always to pray. And I'm going to say that probably goes for ladies too. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to change the Bible, but I believe when he says that men ought always to pray, I believe he's talking about mankind. Yeah. Amen. You fellas and you ladies ought to pray more. Amen. And I'll tell you one thing, it'll help you right off the bat when you come to church.
That's right.
Amen. Especially if that day you come to church, the preacher just happens to have a message for you. Amen. Because some folks, when they come to church, they'll sit here and they're just there. And some folks come to church and they sit there. I agree with that. Oh, I agree with that. Folks love church when the preacher's preaching on stuff they agree with. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, if I was a charlatan, if I was a con man, I'd spend about 6 or 8 weeks in this church just walking around, hey, how are you? Wonderful, how about you? Which football team do you like? Hey, brother, how wonderful. God bless you. Which suit do you like best? And I'd just go around asking questions like that until I knew what everybody liked, and I'd preach about stuff like that, and everybody'd go, oh, goody, ain't he wonderful? There's people that come to church like that. And then there's those folks that come to church, and while you're preaching, you're ringing their bell, and they're sitting there. They don't have any liberty in their awareness. You're telling on yourself is what's going on. Amen. You say, what's the problem? I started to say what the problem is, but that didn't sound right. What's the problem? The problem is no prayer. Mm-hmm. No, Brother Mike, my problem is I've been watching stuff I ought not watch on TV. That is a problem, but that's not your problem. Amen. You know, it's very difficult. I tried this one time. I said it about 100 times before I tried it one day. It's very hard to pray for 45 minutes and then get up and go rob a bank. I said that about 15 times. I'm like, I wonder if that's really true. It sounds good. I mean, I don't know what it sounds like on your end, but coming from my mouth and hearing it with my ears, I think, that's a good point right there. Hallelujah. But one day I prayed and I said, I'm going to go rob a bank. I got the guns. But you know you can't convince yourself to do, I need the money. You'd be surprised. The preachers that needed the money and found a way to excuse this or that. Mm-hmm. Listen, if I find a penny on the church floor, I cannot put it in my pocket and walk out with it. It must be God's. God must have dropped this as he was leaving the building. I'll go put it in the offering plate. You come in one day, oh, there's a little penny. Brother Mike been in here. It's not that I'm cheap. It's just all I found, and it wasn't mine. I'm not taking it out of the church. Amen. But some people seem to be able to get away with anything. And at times, I've been able to get away with anything. And the reason it is because just not praying like I ought to. And that's exactly right. But you know what the simple solution is? I mean, doing it's one thing. Not doing it's another thing. But the solution is men ought always to pray. You ought always to pray. And then don't faint. Quit being such a sissy. And I hate to say that because I know that the things that people are going through, it's hard. It's difficult. But why is it that a man can stand on a foreign battlefield in a land that they have no connection to and walk into bullets and look like they're doing it gladly, but Christians can't face a little hardship so that God could get glory out of it in a little bit? You're going to go through hardships, and my heart goes out to you, and it's going to hurt, and you're going to shed real tears. But when you get up from praying, go on. Go on with it. Amen. Go on. You say, well, you don't just pray. Try to keep from fainting too. We was talking about boot camp before service, and one of the young men just got out of boot camp over there in San Diego. And I can remember standing on the parade deck at Paris Island, rifle, and just stand there 45 minutes. Why in the world would they make you stand out in 95-degree weather for 45 minutes doing nothing? They're waiting for somebody to faint, and people did. Every once in a while, you'd hear that rifle hit the deck, and that fella's helmet hit the deck, and well, one just fell out. Don't look. Amen. Think about him earnestly. It wasn't many of us praying, but we thought about him. That guy. Amen. You say, well, it's fainting. And folks will faint. But I've got, you say, well, Brother Mike, what's the key? People tend to like that kind of preaching. The seven keys not to faint. Well, I only got one key. And that prayer's going to help. That prayer's going to help. Amen. Some folks faint in their marriage. Some folks faint in their finances. They think, boy, if I don't have all the dollars I need this week, I'm not going to make it. That's not the reason for your existence. Are you saved? You got a higher calling than just to make money. If you don't make all the money you need this week, just wait till next week. It might come in. Amen. I'll preach to you that on tonight. I'm going to preach to you about some things God knows. You don't know, but God knows. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Very quickly, let's move over here. 1 Timothy, chapter number 2. You don't mind if I show you a few verses, I hope, because I'm gonna do it. Amen. 1 Timothy, chapter number 2. Look in verse number 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Now, I said, first of all, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You know where that fainting comes from, don't you? It comes from your thoughts. Oh, it's bad. Oh, it's bad, bad. I tell you what, I didn't faint, but I fainted Tuesday. Amen? I was sitting in the dentist chair, and two of the most vicious and ferocious blondes you ever seen in your life showed up. I was kind of worried. I was kindly worried, amen? But all that was thoughts. I got over the thoughts. I said, here we go. We're going to pull this tooth. And they stuck these 9-foot instruments down into my mouth, and I just gagged so hard I couldn't do it. Nope, put me to sleep or something like that. So we didn't exactly get what we needed to get done. But it was most of the problems was in my thoughts. You know, several weeks ago, we run into these fellas that was trying to steal this girl. My gun was in the van, and they said, they got guns. And I found myself running towards the vehicle without a gun. Bravery. And here comes these two blondes. You know what the difference is? Thought process. Mm-hmm. You know, in my training, it's stupid. Brother Joe, you want it to sound like bravado. When they say, they teach Marines to run towards the sound of the guns. It sounds good, but it's stupid. Amen. Amen. Run away from the bullets and let the little ladies work on your teeth when you go to the dentist. That's the way it ought to be done. But the difference between making that happen is all up here in your little thought processes. And it's going to be the same thing, the difference between turning on the remote or turning off the remote or clicking on that website or not, or being nice to your wife or not, or being nice to your husband or not, or deciding to pray or not. The Bible says men ought always to pray and not to faint. That's your thoughts. Now I need to work a little bit faster here. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Now look here. Without wrath, no wrath, no doubt. You know what a lot of problem is in your life? You're mad. I've seen some folks mad this morning already. I don't know why. At Sunday school, you volunteered to come. Normally, I say a lot worse and more offensive things than this, but this is real here. This stuff really dealing with where people's at. And I'm telling you that for a fact. I know it is because I'm just like you. We all dealing with the same things. Flesh, the world, the devil. We're all dealing with those same things. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says when you pray, he says men ought always to pray and not faint. And he says men ought to pray everywhere. But he says no wrath, no doubting. No wrath. You know what that is? That's expression. You ever talk to somebody that's bite your head off? Darling, what's for dinner? I'm doing the best I can. Well, I see you didn't pray today. Because that's the way I respond when Ruth bites my head off. After a long, you know that ain't true, don't you? You know that ain't true. Amen. Amen. It's actually Ruth coming in, what's for dinner? And I say, leave me alone! Because I ain't been praying. You know that's the truth. You know that your expression's messed up because there's no liberty there. And the reason there's no liberty is because the Lord's not in you, expression. You ain't asked God what to say. There's a lot of that going on in preaching. Sometimes I hear preachers and they're telling the truth and you need repetition. I'm not taking nothing. But sometimes I think, I heard Dr. So-and-so say that. You say, well, what is it? There's no freedom of expression. And sometimes you try to teach somebody something, they think, I don't believe that. And part of the reason that they don't believe it is not because it didn't actually say what it said. It said what it said. The problem is, you don't have any freedom of expression. You couldn't move on from Calvin, or you couldn't move on from Dr. Ruckman, or you couldn't move on from Brian Donovan if there was dynamite involved because somebody said it must be true. But what you need is the Lord in your expression, and that comes from prayer. Lord, I want to preach right, and I want to talk right, and I want to have a marriage right, and I want all these things.
Amen.
Amen. All Amen. These things. Let's move on to Philippians chapter 4. Amen. Philippians chapter 4. Listen, without that wrath and doubting we're talking about there, let a preacher doubt his message and listen to him mumble. Oh, he'll sound like Barack Obama without a teleprompter. Amen? Well, I just wanted to speak to you from my heart today. And most of the time when a fella says, I've heard one or two good messages like that, but most of the time when a fella says, I want to speak to you from my heart today, it means I didn't study this week. Amen? Prayer will solve some of that too. Amen? Amen? Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 6. Be careful for nothing. That don't mean if you're walking a tightrope, run. It means be full of cares, anxiety, fears, all these things, doubts we've talked about. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's a big verse, very well written. I'm going to give you the Mike Easter version, very simplified. Don't get angry with me. I'm not trying to change the Word of God, just trying to help you understand it. Don't get bent out of shape. Amen? Don't get bent out of shape. Be thankful. Pray and ask God for your request.
Amen.
Amen. That goes right back with the verse we just covered last time. No wrath, no doubting. Don't get bent out of shape. Be thankful. Listen, if you got something that you need from God, just ask Him. Amen. Just ask Him. Amen? Lord, I just want to thank you for everything. You know, I've started praying that way before, Brother Ron. And Lord, I want to thank you for my wife. And, you know, the Bible gives you the theory. It gives you the method. Do it this way, do it this way. Sometimes we just see the method and without any sincerity at all. You know, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's a whole theory about prayer. Which is, okay, Lord, you're great. You're wonderful. Forgive me. And I'll forgive others and help me out. Would you mind giving me $1 million? You know, just pray like that. Just going by the method. And sometimes I'll just be following the method. Be thankful. Oh, Lord, I just want to thank you for my wife and for my children, for my car. And I thank you for that car that don't run. And I love you so much. Thank you for my place to live. And thank you. And after you get to doing that and the list goes on, your heart begins to melt. And by the time your heart gets all melted and you're crying and snot's running everywhere, forget it, Lord. I didn't need that stuff I was about to ask you for anyway. Amen. You know it takes liberty to do that? Did you know, listen to me very carefully, it takes liberty to look at something you want dead in its being and say, don't need it. Amen. Amen. Take something like that. Amen. When you begin to see your civil rights begin to fade, you can look them right in the face and pray and get next to God and say, Lord, if those get taken away, I'm sure you have something to do with it. Yeah. And if you think the Lord doesn't have anything to do with how much liberties America has and doesn't have, you are sorely mistaken. You need to go back to little kids' Sunday school. Amen. Amen. You know, you're going to look kind of funny as a full-grown individual sitting in there with the sixth graders, but that's where I learned that stuff. God blesses nations because of their obedience to him.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Don't get bent out of shape. Some of your problems, you get bent out of shape too much. You say, well, what should I do? Start praying anyway.
Amen.
Start praying. James chapter 5, I'm going to finish right here. For some of you, I was preaching too long after I was preaching 5 minutes, but I apologize for that, but I do want you to get the meat of the message here. Verse number 16, James chapter 5 and verse number 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And then look at this last portion of the verse. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Availeth. The word avail means to turn to the advantage. Does that sound good to you? Wouldn't you like things to turn to your advantage? Sure you would. The word avail means to profit. It means to help. It means to promote. It means to assist. Anybody here need any of those things?
Amen.
Amen. Surely you do. Well, the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. You know, and I like to define the word fervent like this. You ever been to a fire? I'm not talking about where they lit a Bunsen burner or something like that. I'm talking about a bonfire, a big fire. That's the definition of fervor. That's the definition of fervent. It don't just burn like, yeah, I'm going to burn this wood all to pieces. No, sir. It's like a raging machine. You look into that fire and you think, man, I can't imagine what the fellas going up to the fiery furnace must have thought. All of them, not just the three Hebrew children, but the soldiers that was carrying them up there. That thing was heated 7 times more than it was supposed to be heated. And as they got close, I imagine they thought, why did I sign up for this job again? I didn't sign up for burning no Hebrew boys. Well, they got burned up, didn't they? Because it was a fervent fire. The Bible says that a fervent prayer will avail. It'll profit. It'll assist. It'll turn things to your advantage. Do you believe, Brother Mike, that just praying fervently? Now, we all learned to pray like this when we was little. Dear Jesus, we love you and we thank you and we pray that you would bless my mommy and bless my daddy. And I'm sure the Lord loves prayers like that from his children. But the Lord directs us full-grown individual adult Christians to pray fervently. And he says if we would do it, the Bible says that prophet was of like passion as us. He thought the same things. He acted the same way. He had the same faith, but he had fervent prayer. And he could pray to the point where it'd stop raining or it'd start raining. And I'll tell you, after having lived in Delaware for 6 months, I wish I had a little bit of that fervency because I'd like it to stop raining sometime in the next year or so. Amen? In Georgia, it rained a little bit every day. About 15 minutes, a storm would blow through and be done. Whew, it just rains and rains. But old Elijah, if he wanted to pray, hey, Lord, don't want it to rain. How long? Oh, about 3 years. There it is. Oh, Brother Mike, that's the Old Testament. See, you ain't never tried it in your life. Mm-hmm. Those temptations drag you down again and again and again. and the problems you're having in your marriage again and again and again, and the problems you're having coming to church again and again and again, and the problems you have tithing and the problems you have in obedience to all matters that come across the pulpit, you know what the missing factor is? No fervency in prayer. Amen. You're going to have to stop getting on your knees and say, oh God, I'm so defeated again. Which there may be a time for a prayer like that, but there's also time to get in your prayer closet somewhere and close the door behind you and say, oh God, I need your help. I need it right now. If you don't help me now, things are going to fall to pieces. And just cry out to him. Lose your voice over it. Scream, yell, holler, cry. Amen. When you can't quit, holler, God help me. God help me. God help me. Won't nobody volunteer for the buses? God get hold to them. Amen. Folks won't show up for Sunday school. God get a hold of their hearts. Got stupid people in your family. God get a hold of them. Amen. Amen. You ain't the only person that's got family full of fools. Amen. Brother Mike, I could never pray like that. That's what's wrong. Amen. That's exactly what's wrong. I can tell you this. We spent about 2 years in Georgia dry. Well, I'm preaching my best messages. I'm a pretty smart fella. Don't tell me you don't think that way about yourself, you liar. Every young preacher in the room imagines once they get their chance, Delaware's getting converted. Yeah. 2 years, I said, boy, what's wrong? And I heard a preacher say just about the same thing I just told you. I said, well, I'm going to go home and try it. Got in that little church building every night and started hollering and screaming, welcome to Sunday school. Amen? Yeah. I got in there and started screaming and hollering. 2 o'clock in the morning, deputy sheriff knocking on the door of the church. Is everybody okay in there? Come on in! No, sir, we're good. We're just checking. You say, what happened? Church still going strong. I ain't even been there in 7 months. Church still going strong. They sing louder than you do. They only got about 60 people. They're full of life, full of fire. You know that fire started somewhere. I'm not saying that to bolster me. I'm saying that to bolster you. You get a fire started down in your prayer room, and it'll be affecting your house a long time after you're gone. And I don't know about you, but I'll take 30 seconds extra just to say it. I want my house to be still going strong long after I'm dead. Yes, you know, I've already lived longer than my daddy. My grandpa died when he was 44. My daddy died when he was 45. I'm 49. I've often thought I'll not make it out of my 40s. But when I do go, Brother Jay, I want my little babies to sit around and go, God, help us just like you did when Daddy was alive. Because he has. He has helped us. He's been there with us every step of the way. And he intends to keep going with us. I just hope this. I hope I got the liberty to keep walking the same way. I hope you got the liberty to keep walking the same way as your daddy walks. Amen. I hope little Eli has the ability to follow his daddy all the way home. Amen. 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 You say, well, I'm just about beat. You need to draw up some fervency and go on one more day.
Amen.
That's what you need to do.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you, God, for your goodness and for your grace. Thank you, God, for all you've done for us along the way. And I pray you'd forgive us, God, for all the slackness. Forgive us for our apathy, God, our lack of fervency, our lack of prayer, our great abundance of doubting and wrath and the things that we let incorporate into our lives. I pray you'd help us, strengthen us, lead us, oh God. And I thank you and praise you for all you do. Bless the morning service. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Amen.